As good as I would, if you just open your Bible wherever it lands, that's where we'll preach tonight. I've been going back and forth with three different messages. She told me how to turn this thing on. I didn't pay attention. All right, never mind. But I do appreciate the opportunity to come tonight. His brother Josh is already. Sir, are you left-handed?
No, sir. I know him.
Somebody gave this thing to me left-handed. I'm going to get it fixed. My wife gave it to me. She's left-handed.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong.
She's got you.
No, Brother Scott's got it. So I just got to watch him. No, you're good. You're good. Just have fun.
I need it.
Okay. How many remember a couple weeks ago when your pastor preached and he got a little tore up about what happened down at Redfield Camp Meeting? Anybody remember that? Can I just tell you something? Now, I was there. He was there Thursday night, and he was there. I got one, Brother James. I'll take both of them. That's fine. They must have heard from Cedar Bluff thinking I'm going to preach an hour and a half tonight. But I was there with him a couple of those services. And Brother Josh, I'm telling you, that's some of the sweetest times I've had. And God blessed. But can I tell you something? You already know this, but church, I want you to know that the same God that was in Ringgold, Georgia at the Redfield Camp Meeting is the same God we serve today, amen? And the same God that showed out here this morning and over at Cedar Bluff this morning and over at Valley View this morning and over in Seymour at a church there that I've already heard about and over at Beach Grove Baptist Church over in, I don't even know where that's at, West Knoxville somewhere. That same God is the God that's here tonight. And I praise His holy name for that. Let's go ahead and pray, and I'll just kind of seek the Lord's face this evening. Our Father, as we come to You tonight, God, we ask You that You would give us strength. We give you praise for what You've done tonight. Lord, we just want direction. Lord, I had my wife open to a couple different messages, and I've been praying about them and thinking about them throughout the day, throughout the week. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You would give us wisdom on where to go and what to do tonight. God, You are a mighty God. And Lord, we thank You for that. God, without You, we would be nothing. And without You, we would have nothing. And without You, we'd have nothing to look forward to. Without You, we'd have everything in hell to look forward to. But Father, we thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son one day, and He died for me. And God, I thank You, Lord, that He died for whosoever will. God, I thank You this evening, Lord, that You saved me 25 years ago. And God, I failed You so many times. Lord, I've done so many things wrong, but Lord, I thank You that You've been there to forgive me and to wash it white as snow. God, we pray now that You'd be with us into this time. Lord, guide my thoughts and direct my words, Lord. Father, we pray You'll hide us behind the cross tonight. We praise Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. I think that's still in your book. Jeremiah chapter number 2. We'll read verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 2. We'll read verse number 9. The scripture says, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." I want to try to preach on this thought, when God pleads His case. And in this book of Jeremiah, we find this weeping prophet. He's pleading with the people of Israel to return to God. Brother Ed back there asked the prayer request that we pray for America, that we turn to God. That's a collective prayer request, that as a collective, as a community of America, that we turn back to God. And the prophet here, Jeremiah, was praying and was pleading with the people that they would return to God. Jeremiah preached to those that were left, those that we remained in bondage. His ministry went even into Egypt when the people fled their captivity. But it's during this time of captivity that God began to, I guess you could say, if your parents has ever done this, maybe some of you here have said this, "I've had it up to here." My mother, she had that saying down pat. And it didn't matter if I woke up. She said, boy, I've had it up to here. Because if you grew up in my house, when my feet hit the floor, I was into meanness. And so it didn't take long for her to do that. But here they were in bondage. Here they were. They were still God's people, but yet they were bound. And they were bound by enemy captivity. And here God decided that he had had enough. He'd had enough murmuring. He'd had enough complaining. He had had enough cursing, if you will. And he decided, instead of just letting Jeremiah do all the pleading, that he would do some pleading as well. And tonight I want to try to preach just a few minutes on when God pleads his case. And if I could, Brother Josh, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. And I don't, you know, we ain't seen one another since Redfield. But we were so hoarse by the time it was over, we couldn't talk about anybody. So we've not talked about the church. We've not talked about problems or anything. I see some faces that aren't here that were here the last time we were here. But can I say to you today that God has place this man in this house because God has a plan for you. Now, you all may agree with that, and I'm glad that you do, but can I ask you a favor? If you agree with that and you're thankful for this man of God, will you take a few minutes and just let him know? Miss, where's she at? She's playing with the babies, some children back there, I guess. Miss Davina is in the nursery or whatever y'all call it here in the wherever of Knoxville we are near the graveyard. Miss Davina is the pastor's wife. You didn't vote her in. She may not do anything specific in the house of God. She may sing. I don't know if she plays an instrument or not. She helps. But things that you don't see is standing behind this man of God. And things that she would never tell you about, she's burdened about. Ladies, she loves you. She's burdened for you. Young ladies, some are in her family. She's burdened for you. She prays for you. You say, well, I thought you were talking about Jeremiah. I am. Y'all just got to give me a little bit of time to get there. Amen. But here was the weeping prophet, and he cared for the people of God. Amen. This man cares for you people. If he's been like me, he's had a lot of Mondays come, Brother Scott, that he probably thought, well, why? What's the use of trying? But every Monday, you may think of quitting, but soon God puts something else in place of that thought. Jeremiah was dealing with the people. All they did was run their mouths. If that had been me, if that had been some of you, we'd have whooped them in Jesus' name and wished them the best. I don't know very many pastors that could actually do that. I seen one preacher on the internet, Brother Josh, and he wore out everybody. He was walking the aisles, pointing people out, saying, you are sorry and you know it. And he just, I mean, he did everything but cuss them. Then he had them stand up. He said, but you know I love you. I said, goodness, if that's love, honey, I don't want to see hate coming from you. He called people out in the sound room and everywhere else. But you know what? A pastor's heart, sometimes a pastor's heart gets to the point where Jeremiah was. He had pled and pled and pled, and finally God replaced the preacher's heart with his own. And that's what's happened here. The mouth of Jeremiah, though he spoke, it wasn't his words. Though he's the mouthpiece of God, it wasn't his words. God began to speak. He began to plead his case through Jeremiah. I want us to look at a few verses in the scripture. Number one, I want you to see that he recalls his past goodness. If you look in chapter 2, verse number 6, he says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? That led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. He says they didn't say that. First, I want you to look with me real quick. Notice all the throughs, Brother Scott. If you're like me, sometimes you see your circumstance, you see your situation, you get bogged down in that thing. But they said they went through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and shadow of death, through a land that nobody else went through. You see, sometimes we need to think about the circumstance that we're in and say, am I sitting still or am I moving through it? Every once in a while, Brother James, we need to get over ourselves and move on. Can somebody help me tonight? Sometimes as a body of believers, we need to move on and get through some things. Amen. David said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Them people over there, they're dead. I could see them. I don't know how. I can probably see 75 tombstones. You know what? If they're saved, they're getting up here in a little while. One of these days, the Lord's going to come, they're getting up. If they're lost, they're getting up and they're going to be judged and sent to hell. But guess what? For them in this life, Brother Condi, it's too late. Jake, it seems like so often we find ourselves going to a graveyard. And I'll be the first one to tell you, preacher, I don't like graveyard. I don't like funerals. I don't like weddings. I don't like none of that stuff. Hallelujah. But I certainly don't like graveyard. But Brother James, guess what? As long as there's breath in me when I visit that graveyard, I'm just going through it. Now, this may be a little wonky. It may not follow my outline. Y'all say wonky around here, don't you? If you don't, you should adopt that. That's a good word. It means it's all jacked up. We may go through some trials. We may go through some situations. We may go through some floods. We may go through some fires. But, honey, can I tell you, we're going through it. We may, matter of fact, I want to go visit my pastor, my wife's papa, my papa. I want to go visit him. And you know, I'm going to turn up there and I'm going to get out of my vehicle after I've parked and I'm going to walk around. I'm going to go to that graveyard or I'm going to go to that grave side and I'm going to look at that tombstone that says Troutman. But guess what? I'm not camping out there. I'm not going to lay down there. I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to dwell there. I'm not going to dig a hole and be planted next to him because there's still life in me. There was still life in these people. They were going through some things. Can I tell you, when God takes you through some things, hang on because he is taking you through some things. God brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. He led them through a land of deserts and pits. He led them through some flat times. I grew up in Florida, and in Florida there was no mountains. It was flat. The roads were straight. You could see for miles on one road. Further north you come, the more hilly it gets, the more curvy it gets. You can't see. You will see yourself if you look hard enough. Some of the curves up here. God takes us through some flat times. My wife, I ain't never been over there, but my wife went on a trip out to Colorado, and she said the most boring place she's ever been in was going through Kansas, I believe it was. She said there was nothing for miles and miles in our Christian lives. There is nothing for many, many miles, many days, many months, but hang on, because God's taking us through it. I don't know. Let me just try to help somebody here tonight. I've prayed for, we've been at Cedar Bluff for almost 11 years. And Brother Condi, I've been praying. God, I just want people to get saved. I want people to get saved. I want people to get saved. And every once in a while, somebody gets saved. And I'd praise the Lord. Then we went through a spurt about a year long where our church people were getting saved. I said, Wait a minute. I want people outside to get. Now, I was glad the church people got saved. Don't misunderstand me. But I wanted some new people to get saved and come in. And, you know, it didn't happen. But what God did do is he, through preaching and through teaching, God showed some of our church folks that they weren't saved, that it was all a charade, and they got saved. Brother, your granddaughter and your grandson, Chad and Carol Ann, were church members, but they got saved a year and a half ago. Amen. Jake sitting on the front pew. This joker's full of fire right now. And I hope it don't never run off, Jake. I'm telling you, I hope it don't never run off. But guess what? A couple months ago, back before November, December, you was as cold as all get out. Why? Tell me what happened in January. Reason he was cold is because he was dead. But he got saved. He was a church member. Got saved. Jeremiah was the mouthpiece of God, and God began to teach these people. God began to plead with these people, hey, I've done some things for you. I have given you blessings. I have touched you in a way that no other man has. Remember what he said in verse 6? He said, we went through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. There's going to be some times when it's rough, rocky terrain, when it's hilly, when it's curvy, when it's flat, there's nothing but pine rows around you, there's nothing but oil rigs off in the distance, all you see is tumbleweeds, all you see is a gopher sticking its head up, and you think, my God, where are you? Honey, if you're moving, if you're breathing, God is pleading that to keep on going. Verse number 6, it says, and I brought you into a plentiful, I'm about to have, I don't want to run, I'm too tired. But he said, I brought you to a plentiful country. He said, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. We should have stopped at the comma, or one of the little dot with the comma underneath it, whatever that is. You smart people figure that out. I don't know. I brought you to a plentiful country. You see, Lori, where'd you go? You went to Colorado, didn't you? Was Colorado as barren as Kansas? You know what she did over there? She didn't do a whole lot of it, but there's those mountains, and they got snow on them, and they went over there, and they had a good time. They hike up there, they ride that little, whatever. I don't know how you do all that stuff, Brother James, but they got to the top of that mountain. They strapped plywood on their feet, and they fell down it going 90 miles an hour. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. That's what they did. You know why? That was fun for them. That was a joyful occasion. They went to eat. They had a good time. But to get there, they had to go through Kansas. You're having revival in a week. Last year, you had a 3-week-long revival. I have no idea how it is here every Sunday. I have no idea. And I'm trying to hurry, Pastor. But I'm telling you, Mallory, I remember seeing you last year. And you was preaching better than your daddy. I mean, you was on fire. You was doing it. And I don't know, maybe you still are. I'm not saying you're not, honey. But what I do know is when that fire gets kindled and that fire is moving, that fire, I mean, it's banging. You can't stop it. But if you quit feeding it, it's going to start getting cold. That flame's going to dwindle. Tonight, I want you to know that three-week revival, how about we just move on from that? That was a whole lot of yesterdays ago. Guess what tomorrow brings? On the 21st, is that right, the 21st? 21st, Dr. McNeese is going to roll up in here late like he always does. I don't know if he'll preach or not. He's going to roll in here. But when he comes, he's not bringing revival. When y'all have special singings, I guess you're having special singers come in. They're not bringing revival. When your pastor gets up there and he begins to plead and he begins to call, and Brother Eric gets over there and he begins to do this, and whatever, Eric's wife, Greta, when she gets up here, she sings, she plays an instrument. What, whoever does whatever, they are not bringing revival. But God is. And sometimes he wants you to go through 49 weeks of hell before he can give you a week of heaven. He may want you to be lonely. He may want you to be tired. He may want you to be cold for a while. So you can enjoy when the fire comes. You say, oh, shouldn't I be on fire all the time? Yes, 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 yes. We shouldn't be beating ourselves up either when we begin to grow a little colder. You know something? You're my cousin. You know that? I didn't until you told me again. That's my cousin right there. What's your name? Gene. Jenny Ma's boy. Guess what? God sometimes wants us cold, still. He said he's had me there. Anybody ever been cold? Man, I've been cold. I hate the winter, brother. I hate to. I'm talking about the real winter. I hate it. I hate the summer. I hate the spring because I'm sick all the time. I ain't got a good time of the year, but I sure enough hate the winter. Man, I'm cold. I hurt all the time. I can't go outside. I get pasty. I mean, it's just miserable. I can't stand it. But you got to go through the winter. See that growth? That growth that comes up throughout the year, it's got to die off. It's got to die off. I'm raising a peach tree. I'm growing a peach tree. I don't even know what I'm doing. I got a peach tree in the yard and it's growing. I wanted to grow some more. And I got to Googling and it said, in order for you to take one of those seeds from those peaches, it's got to dry out. It can't just dry out anywhere. It's got to have the right temperature so it can dry all the way through. Sometimes God puts us in a warm place. God sometimes keeps us up. Somebody help me. Sometimes God puts us on a shelf and says, listen, I love you. I see great things for you, but I need you to stay right here for a little while. Brother Wally, after that thing is done, guess what? When it gets cold, you put it down in the ground. But Scott, I don't know how God does it, but he takes that. To what? To us, it looks dead. I done got off my message. Y'all just have to forgive me. But Brother Eric, he takes that little seed that to us looks dead. It's already been on the shelf. And then he puts it down in the ground. And he covers you up with cold dirt. And you think, my Lord, it feels like death in here. But then spring. Spring happens and the warmth of the sun begins to break through the cloudy, barren wilderness of winter, and that sun begins to heat that ground that you were, in a sense, you were cursing because it covered you up. It kept you out of the light and you were cold all the time, but now that sun begins to warm, and then there's something that happens to that assumed dead seed. It begins to crack open. And a little piece of life comes out of it and begins to grow down and begins to grow up. And those roots begin to settle. Those roots begin to take hold and it breaks the ground. Begins to grow. And then summer comes. Begins to warm it even more. The spring rains now have come. Begins to water it. God brings different animals. God brings different ways. He begins to, in a sense, listen, anoint, fertilize that seed. Before long, you've got a little tree. It's tender at first. Sometimes we're tender, preacher. Sometimes we think, man, the wind's blowing. I can't stand up. I can't stand against the wiles that are coming at me. But God has a way to make us firm and to make us steadfast. And if we will be like Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Where God plants you, go ahead and stay. It may be winter, it may be spring, it may be summer, it may be fall, but guess what? Just stay there. Amen. Do you know that thing comes up, it begins to do its thing, it begins to grow, little beautiful leaves come, and it begins to get some meat on its bones, but then all of a sudden, when it seems like life is just happening, it seems like life is going like gangbusters and things can't get any better, fall comes. You know what happens in fall? Death ensues. It's a cycle. But as that thing begins to grow and it survives the spring and the summer and the fall, God gives it a hardiness. God will give you, the people of God, a hardiness so that you can survive yet another winter, and so you can survive and be stronger for yet another season. And through that winter, once you begin to get out of it, spring comes again, life comes again, you get stronger again, you get deeper again, and God blesses. When God brings you through some things, just hang on, because God's got a plan, amen? I'm giving you these, I'm going to a house or somewhere, I'm about hungry. God led them to a land of plenty. He vividly reminds them of their sin. I'm not going to hunker down here. He says in verse number 13, he said, "For my people have committed two evils. First, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." I'm just going to tell you this. Sometimes people of God think they know what's best. Maybe you've been here. You think you know what's best, and so you see a place, that'd be a good well. You see a little spring, that'd be good water. You begin to dig out something and you're saying this is going to be from God. God's going to bless them. God's going to bless this. But what's happening is they're digging up broken cisterns that will hold no water. What in the world does that mean? That means you're trying to be God in your own situations. You're trying to make decisions that only God should be making in your life. And He says that you have committed two evils against me, the latter being the one about digging up the cisterns. He says, you forsook the fountain of living waters. That's what we have right here. That's what we have, sis. Says that's what we've got in God, in Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, cleanse all or lose all their guilty stains. We have the fountain of living waters, but as the days progress and as society goes further away from God, so does many churches, and we forsake the fountains of living waters for strange water. For there's a book, I've never read it, I just like the name of it, For Strange Fires. Jeremiah was dealing with the people that had left the fire of God, seeking after strange fires. They've left, textually, they've left the water of God, and they've went out and they've dug their own wells. They've tried to find their own water. He points out their failures of other gods in verse number 28. He asks them simply, "Where are your gods?" He says that thou hast made over to them. Let them arise if they can save thee in a time of thy trouble. For according to The number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. This was not just a few. He says, according to thy cities. That's how many gods you have. And let them arise and see if they can help you in your situations. Church, we may not say that we worship idols, but I'll tell you something. Here in late August, early September through November, then again in December and January, there's going to be a lot of born-again Baptists start committing idolatry in the color of orange. No, I almost lied. I almost said I'm a sports fan. Lori knows I ain't. I'd soon watch paint dry sometimes. I'm telling you what, if they're winning, I'm getting her done. They start losing, playing sorry, I got better things to do. I ain't got time for that. Mallory, guess what? We got to be careful putting other things before God. I'm going to say this, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You may disagree with me, but if all you ever do is read the Word of God, guess what? You've put an idol in front of you. You say, what? I said, if all you ever do is just read the Bible, you don't pray, you don't seek God's face, you don't season it with preaching, with singing, with worship, all you ever do. And you will pride yourself. That's a whole nother issue. You'll pride yourself on the fact that you read your Bible day in and day out. But if that's all you do, honey, it ain't helping. You may want to be a prayer warrior, and all you ever do, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. But if you never read that Word of God and hear back from Him, it ain't going to help. It might for a little while. See, we as Christians, we still put idols. Good, now listen, good old-fashioned, fundamental Baptist churches, we have a bad habit of idolizing our pastors. I've known a few, you've probably known a few pastors that were great men of God, and I have adored them. And I myself have placed them on a pedestal. But what I've learned is the higher I place them, the further they have to fall. And I've seen some men of God fail. I've seen them fall. It breaks my heart. I know it's broken their heart. But we need to watch. He said, let those other gods come and help you. Very quickly, look at this. We see him, first of all, he recalls his past goodness. Then he vividly reminds them of their sins. He points out the failures of other gods. He issues a plea to his people in chapter 3, verse number 12. He says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful. I wish somebody would help me. For I am merciful, saith the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say it again. For I am merciful. That's not me, that's God. He says, and I will not keep anger forever. The psalmist wrote, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? But right after that, he mentioned God's anger. And he quite simply, I don't know if I find it, I believe it's here, it is right here. He says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Right before that, verse 5, Psalm 85, he says, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? God's promise he's not going to be angry forever. God's promise he's not going to leave us, he's not going to forsake us. God's promise in these scriptures, specifically to the people of Israel, he says, I've taken you through some things. And I believe in the church today, God is taking us through some things. At Northside Baptist Church, God has taken you through some things. But guess what? On the end of it, there's good stuff. Back in June, I grew up in Florida for 20 years. I grew up 2.5 hours away from Mickey Mouse Land. I never went, never had a desire. My kids say I've went. I was like 3 days old or some silliness like that. I have no recollection of it whatsoever. I have no desire right now, at least, preacher, to go back again. My feet still hurt, and that was in June. I'm not ready to go back again. But when somebody said amen, hallelujah. When we left here, we went down to Americus, Georgia to meet the rest of the family and to catch up with them and go the rest of the way. I don't like traveling. You're lucky I made it here. This is too long of a drive for me. I can't stand it. End of the driveway and back, I'm good. I don't like driving. I don't like going to work, but I don't like driving to work either. We pastor 30 minutes away, and it's a chore for me to sit in that car for 30 minutes. I don't like it. I'd rather be chauffeured like Brother Sammy Allen or something, or Brother Tim Rawhoff. That'd be a blessing if my wife would start driving everywhere. She has difficulties driving, but we'll get on with that later on. But you see, especially for my children who really desire to go to Disney World, there had to be a 10-hour drive before we can ever get there. Sometimes God's got a place of triumph, a place of victory. Sometimes He's got a place of, what was that? I thought somebody's car alarm went off. I said, that's a big old car. Sometimes God's got a place that we have never even imagined, but we've got to go where He leads. This evening, I'm telling you, you have no idea what God's got planned for you tomorrow. Church, He needs to turn that alarm off, whatever that is. Is that a train? Lord God, does it do that all the time? That's distracting. No wonder you wanted me to preach tonight. You knew the train schedule. I done forgot what I was saying. Something about Disney World and that little mouse. Sometimes God wants us to go on a journey that we may not enjoy, that we may not like, that may be uncomfortable, that may be longer than we desire, but He gives us a reward at the end. He does promise His continuing mercy. He says, "For I am merciful." Verse number 15, I'll give you this real quick and I'm going to the house. "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." God is going to give you a man. I don't know this church's history. If I could be blunt, I don't care to know this church's history. All I know is what's here right now. All I know is who is here right now. And I'll tell you something. If you do nothing for God, if you'll honor this pastor, you'll honor this man and his beautiful bride. Can I say she's beautiful? Is that okay? I don't want that to be offensive. His bride, I want you to know God will honor you. If you... You heard what I said? God's going to give you this man because He's after God's own heart. And God's going to do it. Why? Why? What's the title of the message? When God pleads His case. God's got us here for a reason. God's got this man, but guess what? He's got you here for a reason. I told you at the beginning of the message, there's some faces that are not here tonight. Don't weep. Don't cry. Don't be beleaguered, but instead rejoice because they're gone, but rejoice because God's got who He wants here right now. Pastor, if I can speak to you as a pastor, to you, I've had people leave my church, never a word. To this day, I have no idea why they left. I've called, I've emailed, I've texted, I've sent letters, I've visited, never a word. Some of them I've seen since then, and they act like everything is okay. They have no idea the hurt that's in here. And I know right in there, there's some hurt because of whatever may have happened. Don't fret. Don't worry. Can you stand up, preacher? Stand up. I want you to look at something. Look at these folks that are here. Church, I want you to look at this man right here. You are here together for a reason. It doesn't matter who, you can come on up if you want to. It doesn't matter who is here and who is not here. God places and God removes people. You say, well, they did me wrong. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That may have been God's plan to make you stronger. Pastor, you may have to go through some hurt in order to face something else way down the road. But guess what? Guess what? God's got you here. If everybody leaves, I don't want y'all to leave tonight. Please don't leave tonight. But if everybody leaves tonight and you said, I'm never going back to Northside again, I firmly believe this, and y'all have to help me. If everybody leaves here tonight, you may feel, Pastor, you may feel like everybody's out of the will of God, but I guarantee you, God is at work. He may empty this congregation just to bring in a new one. You never know, Brother Scott. How long have you been here?
43 years.
You're still here. You've probably seen a few preachers come through here. I don't know what your relationship has been, but let me tell you about this man. We got chairs over at our church. We didn't have room for pews, so we got chairs. And I think I posted on Facebook that, hey, I'm going to move. The chairs are being delivered. I'm going to move some. And not one person from Cedar Bluff, not one person from Cedar Bluff said anything. Brother Scott messaged me and said, hey, what time are you going to be there? I'm free. I'll come. And if this man will love on another pastor, I believe he stands behind this pastor. If you honor God's men, I'm talking about God pleading his case. I didn't come here to preach this. But I guarantee you, church, if you honor this pastor, and I'd hate to leave Miss Davina out, and your pastor's wife, God will honor this church.
Amen.
You won't have to worry about dead men's bones because there's life here. Preacher, I'm through.